Hey guys, it's Mitzi. Welcome to another What's She On Abroad, the UK edition. It's my first international trip since the Panasonic, and it's my first significant trip anywhere, honestly, since my sister passed. And, well, look, you guys know I'm a huge, huge Bastille fan. Huge. They just put out a new album, Give Me the Future, which you should totally check out. It's available on all platforms. My favorites are Stay Awake, Back to the Future, Future Holds, Distorted Light Beam. There's a few others. Check it out. Anyway, so they put out a new album, and as such, they're doing a tour for it, obviously. They're from London, so not London, I should say. They're from England. And as such, their first tour usually is a UK tour. And normally I would not go to something like that. But my sister, Midwin, she's gone to international concerts. She's gone to see her favorites in other countries. And I'm thinking to myself, life is short, as her passing has taught me. I should do something similar. And her first international show was in Glasgow. She went to see Coldplay. And I thought to myself, oh my God, Bastille has a show in Glasgow. I should go and see them. Actually, that show then sold out, promptly sold out. So they added a second date. And so I was like, oh, I am definitely going. And then the dates worked themselves out that the day that I arrived, there was actually a show in Manchester. So I was like, I'm catching a show in Manchester as well. So that's why this is the UK edition, because I went to Manchester, I went to Glasgow, I went to Edinburgh, I went to the Highlands. And so definitely the UK edition. Okay, so I flew British Airways into Heathrow. The flight was delayed, but I'd given myself enough time to get to the train that I had booked prior to my leaving. I'm so glad I kept my Oyster card through the move, cross country, through everything. I had this Oyster card because I put in the Oyster card into the machine. Wait, do you guys know what an Oyster card is? It's basically like, I don't know if you're from New York, it's like a Metro card, only it doesn't expire. It's a card that you get for the tube in London. It gives you a little bit of a discount. You just load it up and then you use it as you're going along, as opposed to just getting a ticket every time you get on. I do think that they give you a little bit of a discount. Anyway, the last time I was there, I think I loaded one up with money from the company that I was working for, and I kept it all this time. And thank goodness I did, because it had like over £16 in it. So I ended up taking the train to the London Euston station, which is where you can take, like, not the tube, but like overground trains that'll take you into northern, the northern bits of the United Kingdom. Now, my only mistake what in taking the tube, when I had looked at it initially, they were like, go to what was it, King's Cross or something like that, and walk to London Euston. And I'm like, God, there's got to be a different way. So I looked at the map and I saw that I could actually transfer at Leicester Square and take the Northern line to London Euston. The only problem is, and probably why they didn't suggest it, is the bloody fucking stairs. So many stairs. And of course, I've got a suitcase that's like more than half my size because I'm going for a week. So obviously I need to pack like a ton of stuff. There was this lovely lady going down the steps and she was like, do you need some help? And I'm like, yes, desperately. And so she helped me bring it halfway up and I sort of dragged it the rest of the way. But I had given myself enough time, so I caught my train. And it was an easy train to Manchester Piccadilly. I was actually supposed to transfer to Manchester Victoria by train, but it turns out that there's a free bus. There's a free city bus that will take you to Manchester Victoria. I honestly wish I had had more time because I would have just ridden that free bus around for a little bit just to see a little bit more of Manchester. But if you go, totally take that free bus around. Anyway, so it dropped me off right in front of the station, which was right up the block from the hotel. And I found out that night, that day, that I booked a great hotel. It was a little bit pricey, but it was literally next door to the Manchester Victoria Station, which I would need the next day. And it was right up the block from the AO Arena, which, yo, I just realized probably a week after the concert that the AO Arena is actually the Manchester Arena where that bombing happened, after the Ariana Grande concert and all those people died. Which I'm so glad I didn't know at the time because I think it would have freaked me out a little bit. But it also explains all the security because they were in full force that night. Anyway, I was dead tired and starving. And before I came, I had looked up. My sister loves her some fried chicken. So it occurred to me, let me look at, I don't know why, but I was like, I'm gonna look it up. And there was a place not too far from my hotel called Yard and Coop. And it had fried chicken and it was pretty darn good. So I ended up going over there. I brought two umbrellas with me. And of course, I didn't bring those two umbrellas with me to the restaurant. And as soon as I get in there, it starts pouring sheets of rain. At one point, the sun is out, but sheets of rain. I had no choice but to order another cider and wait it out. Anyway, on my way back to the hotel, I was thinking about like catching a nap, but then I also realized that in my neighborhood there were a ton of shops, including a Marks and Spencer and a oh, what's that other one? I think it's Selfridges. Maybe it's Selfridges. But anyway, Marks and Spencer. Whenever I am in London, or at this point now, whenever I'm in the United Kingdom and there's a Marks and Spencer, I am going to get some knickers. Okay? Their underwear in the packs are freaking fantastic. They're very, very affordable and they last a long ass time. So yeah. I go to Marks and Spencer and I get packs of knickers. Anywho, I get back and I have to change into my concert t-shirt. And I went to the concert, which was fantastic. I had pretty good seats. I was on the side sitting, of course, way too old to be in like the standing GA section. But it was pretty far down, so I could see the stage really, really well. I was on an end seat, which was fantastic. And prior to the show, like I didn't look at set lists. I tried to look at as few pictures as possible so that I could be surprised. Oh, it was fantastic. But you know, I'm gonna do a separate episode on the tour itself and the concerts that I went to, so I won't go into great, great detail. Anyway, the next morning, I went back to the shops and I hit up my new obsession and where I will also be going every time that I go back to the UK. And that's the Mark and Spencer's food hall. I honestly wish that I wasn't in a hotel and that I was in either, an Airbnb or a Vrbo or something that had like an actual oven and things because there were so many things that I wanted to like buy and try, but you needed like a real proper kitchen for. So in the meantime, I settled for some extra mature cheddar. I love that they call or sharp cheddar, extra mature, a petit pain and a pain au chocolat and some cider for the train ride to Glasgow because it's almost 6 hours with a change. Definitely need some snacks. I guess I could have gotten some on board as well, but I figured, when am I going to take the train up and down the UK? I may never do this again. Let me just, see the countryside and like go by train. Well, so I booked my train on an app or a website called trainline.com, and it has an app. And everything's going good until I get to Newcastle, where I'm supposed to transfer for a train to Glasgow Queen Street. And I'm like looking and looking for my train, and I don't see it. And I'm like, what the H? So I go and I ask for some help, and the woman's like, Oh yeah, no, I don't see it on the board. Then she asks another woman, and the other woman's like, yeah, you know, that keeps happening. Someone else, this happened to somebody else as well. That's like a phantom train. That train doesn't run anymore. I'm like, what the H? What am I supposed to do? I need to get to Glasgow. Thankfully, the concert's not that night, but still, I need to get to Glasgow. So she's like, well, actually, what you can do is you can take the train to Edinburgh, and then when you're in Edinburgh, you can transfer to Glasgow. And thankfully, you know, with COVID and all the rest of it, I went ahead and I booked like an anytime first class ticket. And I'm glad I did because that allowed me to take the very next train without having any issue because it was an anytime train. So I could just, you know, take whatever train I needed to get where I was going, regardless of the carrier or anything like that. So slight detour into Edinburgh, which is about 45 minutes to like close to an hour away from Glasgow. So, went to Edinburgh, then transferred to the Scottish Rail to get me to Glasgow. Of course, I'm supposed to be next to Glasgow Central, not Glasgow Queen Street, which is where it dropped me off. So, thank God for the City Mapper app, because that sucker was able to point me exactly where I needed to go, the direction turn by turn, to get to Glasgow Central. And further on to my hotel. And it was a pretty central location where it was like near a ton of shops and trains and buses and stuff. And so that was good. You know, I settled myself in. And again, one of the things, look, y'all know that the UK is not known for their food. Okay? We just gonna be real about it. They are not known for their food. So, some of the research I did was like, what else can I eat? And one of the things I found was a jerk chicken place called the Rum Shack. And so, you know, that's where I ended up going the first night. So, I figured out the bus with the help of the concierge, and I got there and back again with a City Mapper. The food wasn't, it was okay. Obviously, you know, I've been to Jamaica, so it's gonna be tough. But the rum drinks, however, delicious, and I would definitely, definitely recommend. Okay, so that was Saturday. Early, early, early Sunday morning, which, way too early for me, but super, super early. I took the first train out of Glasgow Queen Street on the Scottish Rail to Edinburgh. Now, if you ever go to Edinburgh, it is one hilly, 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 hilly ass place. I mean, there are stairs everywhere to get you up all these GD Dam, all these GD hills. There's so many, and they have all these little ways or whatever, which is like all these narrow pathways up these narrow ass stairs to get you like up and down. And so I walked the Royal Mile up to the castle and passing like cathedrals and all sorts of shops and stuff. And look, I totally played myself thinking that I could just pop into a castle tour, which is one of the reasons why I actually came so early because I was meant to go, or I booked myself on a Johnny Walker experience tour at like 12 something. And I thought, let me go early. I'll eat breakfast. I'll pop into the castle and then I'll go down for this tour. Played myself. Obviously, it was a Sunday. Wasn't thinking. And I guess I didn't realize that. And, you know, this might be a COVID thing, but I guess they only sell a certain amount of tickets a day and and certain slots, and they were completely and utterly sold out. You buy your tickets online and then there are kiosks for you to print the web tickets that you bought. So I had no choice and I literally just like walked around and walked around and walked around until you know I was ready for my Johnny Walker experience, which, oh my God, guys, was so cool and so well produced. I had a wonderful tour guide, Paula, who was super, super knowledgeable. They have like this production team out of LA, and I'm blanking on the name because I literally asked because I thought it was so clever and done so well. They had like really great interactive storytelling. They had like this actor in place to sort of tell you the story of John Walker and how he started it out of his little grocery shop. And how his sons carried on the business, you know, of his blended whiskey, the fact that his signature label is at 20 degrees, which allows for the writing on the label to be bigger, so on and so forth. It was great. It was absolutely wonderful. And of course, what whiskey experience is complete without whiskey? So we go into this really super, super cool room to make our own highballs. We actually did a flavor profile before we came in, and they gave us wristbands based on the flavor profile. I don't know how I got mine so wrong, but mine ended up being smoky, which I'm like, mm-mm, not me. I'm more of a fresh person or a fresh profile. That was like a little bit citrusy. That's so much more me. Anyway, it was really cool because the machine, based on the color of the glass, you put it into this machine and it knows the right whiskey to choose for you to make your highball. And then you add your own sort of garnishes and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. Then we went into a couple of other rooms with all these interactive displays. And then our tour guide, Paula, was great too. She was like, you know, if blinding lights and loud music and stuff bothers you, I can let you know when it's coming up, or you can stand over here where it won't bother you as much. Which is great, you know, that they're just being mindful of things that could bother people as they go on these tours. And so, yeah, then we ended up in this really great bar, which was wonderful. And they gave us, like, I think two more drinks. Whew, I was, like, so drunk by, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon from these whiskey drinks because they were full-on drinks. And, you know, I wasn't going to waste them. So then I did a bit of shopping. And then got on the train so that I could get back and change in time for the concert, because the first concert in Glasgow was that night. And I'm so glad that I ended up going to multiple shows, because while the Manchester show was in an arena, the Glasgow shows were in, I think they call them the O2, but it's so tiny. It's like a really small, small, cool venue. And I was in the unreserved balcony, which, because I was by myself, I actually ended up with a great seat right at the front of the balcony. So no one blocking my view or anything like that. But again, I digress. I'm not going to get into the concert too much, because I'll do a separate episode about that. Anyway, I was so tired the next day, because between Edinburgh and the concert and all the rest of it, I had done over 17,000 steps. So the next day, I kind of took it easy. You know, it's one of the reasons why I travel alone. Nobody was like, oh my God, get up, you're in Glasgow, you should go see something. Yeah, I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to sleep in. I don't even remember what I ended up having for breakfast. I probably bought something nearby. And then I walked over to King Tut's Wawa Hut, which is where Oasis was discovered. They were closed, unfortunately. I'd hoped that I'd be able to get a t-shirt or something, but they were closed. Anyway, more walking, more hills. And then I ended up going to the sound check and Q&A. Again, I'll get into that in the Bastille episode if you want to know what happened there. But it was awesome. I actually ended up making a new friend on the line, who's actually from the Highlands. She overheard me telling somebody I was going to the Highlands. It turns out she's from the Highlands. And so we were talking about that, and she was just giving me some recommendations and things. And I told her that I'd actually gotten a recommendation to go to a place called Patricia's Coffee Bar. And she's like, oh my God, my best friend works there. You should totally go. I haven't been yet, but the food's supposed to be amazing. And I'm like, oh, well, there's two people, so I'm definitely going to go there. And, you know, when I get a chance. And then, you know, she was just telling me to enjoy the Highlands. Ended up shopping for like a new Easter shirt. Then I definitely went back for a nap before that third concert, because I'm getting on in the years, you know? So anyway, I'm not sure whose bright idea it was for a Highlands tour that started at 7:45 the next morning. But whoever that was, she get her ass beat, and I know it's me, but I should have my ass beat for choosing to do an early morning Highlands tour the day after a concert. Like, it's so hard for me to like come down from a concert. It's like so exciting, and you know, I want to post videos and look back on my concert footage and yada yada yada. So it was rough stuff getting up that next morning, but I did it. Now, this is the only thing that really kind of annoyed me about this, you know, about this trip. Now, this was a Robbie's tour. It's billed as a 16-passenger van with big, huge windows where you could take pictures and a knowledgeable guide that drives you into the Highlands, and here are all the stops and so on and so forth. And it takes hours. It's like a all-day trip, you know, like we were supposed to get there before 7 so that we could leave bang on time at 8, and I believe we were back at 7. So it was like damn near 11 hours. So long trip, right? Anyway, I get there and the guy's like, "Oh, okay. So yeah, you're by yourself. Well, the only thing available right now is a two-seater, and I'm waiting for a couple to come. So, you know, if the couple doesn't come, then you can sit in one of those seats, but if not, you're gonna have to sit like in the front." And I'm like, "Sit in the front? Like, what is he talking about?" Yeah, what he's talking about is basically the jump seat that a tour guide would sit in, and it's right in front of the door, as in I'm literally blocking the door to get in and out of this bus. My feet are hanging in the freaking stairwell, and I'm not as high as the bus driver, but you know, I'm a little bit lower. Obviously, the window is just the passenger side window, so it's got the mirror and everything. So, you know, difficult to take pictures in. But more importantly, I'm right by the fucking door, you know? So it's a little bit annoying, you know, because I have to be ready to like get out of the bus as soon as we get somewhere because everybody's waiting on me. But also I can't get on the bus until everybody else has gotten on. And okay, we're going into the fucking Highlands. It's Scotland. It fucking rains. So I'm like out in the rain waiting for these people to like get back on the bus because God forbid you should be timely. It just sucked. I wish I had gotten a choice, or I was told that it was a possibility. You know, I might have done things differently. I might not have taken the tour, if I'm being honest, if I had been given a choice. And that's all I'm saying. Give somebody the choice. Because somebody else might have loved sitting up in the front, being right by the driver, where you could ask him questions and stuff, and you could see right through the windshield. It won for me. My feet were like dangling in the stairwell. It was just super, super uncomfortable. I couldn't keep my bag with me because it's kind of like a bulkhead seat, if you will, on a plane. So I couldn't keep my bag with me. I had planned to like write in my journal. I had planned to like make notes and do all this stuff and read. 'Cause you know, hello, long ass bus trip, couldn't do any of it. Oh, thank God for my iPod. But it was still cool to go to the Highlands, and you know, I would definitely recommend it. I would just, I mean, and you know, it just made me feel bad about traveling by myself, because if I hadn't been traveling by myself, I wouldn't have been stuck in that seat. Anywho, this tour to the Highlands, which was cool, we went to Loch Lomond and Fort Augustus, which is like a little town right on Loch Ness. Paid the extra money to take the boat tour around Loch Ness. I had no idea it was so big, and that it was fresh water, and that you don't even float in fresh water. It's so dark down there, and that's why they think that, you know, there could be a monster down there, because there's 16% of DNA that they have not been able to type and classify. And honestly, I think they said that you can only go down like maybe 6 or 7 feet before it's just pitch black down there and you can't see a thing. And there are some places where it's like, I don't know, 125 feet deep or something. I mean, it's wild. I had no idea. We went to Glencoe and Inverness, which is kind of like the capital of the Highlands, and saw Inverness Castle and the cathedral. We saw some hairy coos, which are the Highland cattle. Did some shopping and stuff like that, which is great. Ended up getting these Walker biscuits for my mom and my aunt, And whoo, had I known how much my mom likes shortbread biscuits, she loved those Walker biscuits. I mean, those things were done before the week was gone that I had been back. Like, she just snatched those whole things up, that whole thing up. Sorry, been drinking. So the last day I headed to that Patricia's Coffee Bar, and it's funny because as I was at the till, like paying for my meal, the girl was telling me, "Oh yeah, what brings you in?" Blah blah. And I was telling her how like someone had recommended it, and then I met this girl yesterday at the Bastille concert, who is from the Highlands and says that her best friend works there, and you know that I would enjoy the food. And she was like, "Oh, what's her name?" And you know, I told her, and she was like, "Oh my God, that's me! I'm the best friend," which I thought was just like, "Oh my God, what a small world!" Even though it honestly is not a small world. She even texted her while I was there and was like, "Hey, I met that girl that you met at the Bastille concert the night before or 2 nights ago." The food was great. It was fantastic. And then I ended up taking the bus over to the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum, which was pretty cool. It's free, but they suggest a £5 donation, which is more than fair and worth it. It's three stories, three plus stories. Three plus stories? Actually, I guess it's three stories. There's a like a basement and then a ground and then another floor. And I saw a Dali and a Monet and Van Gogh and stuff. Oh, it was nice. It was cool. They had lots of stuff on display, which I'll definitely share some of the pictures that I took and stuff so that you can take a look. It's not too far from the University of Glasgow, which looked beautiful. Like, if I wasn't just dead tired on my feet, I would have gone over to just take a look at, a closer look at the University of Glasgow, because it just looked gorgeous, gorgeous. Next to the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery, just absolutely stunning. So yeah, that was my trip to the UK, to bits of the UK that I'd never been to: Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh, the Highlands. It was a little chilly, rainy, but nice, and everybody was just as nice as they said that they would be. You know, I was a little worried, but there was no need. Everybody was really, really nice. One person that I spoke to told me to just be careful of the, you know, heroin addicts, the junkies. Which I was like, really? Yeah, that was sound advice, and you know, I made sure to just keep my wits about me, even though like I never felt threatened or scared, but there were definitely some junkies around who, you know, not for the faint of heart, truly. So I was supposed to fly out of Glasgow into Heathrow and have that connection. I had 3 hours between my flight landing in Glasgow and me taking off from Heathrow back to New York. So I'm thinking to myself, because of the whole COVID thing where you got to take a test before you come back to the United States, I had bought an at-home test and I uploaded it to the app that I was told to upload it to, Verifly. A lot of people didn't have good things to say about the app and how it doesn't really work and so on and so forth. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened to me. I had to manually put in my test results negative. Thank you, Jesus. And it accepted it, but it seems like it never relayed the information to British Airways, so it would not allow me to check in. And as such, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go to the airport early, just make sure I'm okay so that I can check in. And then, if God forbid, for some reason it still doesn't work, I can take a test at the airport just to get me back into the United States. Now, I had no trouble checking in. Beautiful, wonderful. I'm in the airport waiting, waiting, waiting. Then I look at the board and it's like, oh yeah, the flight's delayed by 45 minutes. I'm like, all right, whatever. Go in search of a mailbox so that I can post my postcards. A friend of mine who does this blog called Postcards from Auntie, she always had a tip that, like, when you're in a city, you should just grab a postcard and write to yourself, like, what you've been doing on the trip right then and there, and mail it so that by the time you get home and you get this postcard, you can remember what you did on the trip, which I thought was a great idea. So I did one in Edinburgh, and the plan was to do one and mail it at the airport in Glasgow, but I'd gone through security and there was no mailbox. Thankfully, these two cops that I asked about it, they were like, "We'll post it for you." And lo and behold, they did, because I did just receive it. So that was nice. Anyway, so I look again at the freaking board and it says, "Oh, the flight's delayed by an hour." And then an hour and a half. And I'm like, "What is happening?" So I was flying business. So I was allowed to use the lounge, which was great. And so I went into the lounge and I found myself a little nook, and was the food wasn't great. So I just stuck to the crisps, as you call them, chips. So I got some chips and some pretzels and things like that, and just, drinking and stuff as I'm waiting. And the flight keeps getting delayed. And now I'm freaking worried because I'm like, am I going to be able to make this connection? But I was like, I'm good. I'm already checked in. My bag's checked through. I should be good. Well, so now this flight is super delayed. We get on board. We get to Heathrow and we sit on the bloody fucking tarmac. I'm like, oh my God. As we're sitting on the tarmac, literally my flight is going to leave in 15 minutes. So I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. But then I checked and it was delayed. My connecting flight was actually delayed by, I think, 40 minutes. So I was like, okay, I have time. You know what, y'all? I did not have time. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because we sat on the tarmac, sat on the tarmac, sat on the tarmac. Then finally we get to the gate, but we're not really getting to the gate. Because for some reason, Heathrow is super, super, super busy. So they literally just pull over to the side, push these stairs to the plane, start deplaning from both the front and the back onto these buses, and the buses take us to the terminal. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have enough time for this. So we get to the terminal and the guy, and I'm asking the guy, I'm like, look, I'm about to miss my connection. What should I do? He's like, oh, just go upstairs. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go upstairs and then it turns out that I'm on the other side of security. I'm going to have to go through security again. And at this point, the flight is going to leave in like 10 minutes. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make it. So I go to like the first set of people and they're like, oh, and it was A. And they're like, oh, you should go speak to somebody in G. I go to G and they're like, oh, no, you should go speak to somebody in J. And then I go to J and they're like, oh, you should go and speak to somebody in like X or something. Oh my God, I was so pissed. I was stomping in up and down this freaking airport, just cursing at the top of my lungs because I was so annoyed. So finally, I get to the desk and I tell the woman what's happening, and I'm just trying to calm down because I'm just vibrating with anger right now. I'm just so pissed. And she's on the phone for an additional 15 minutes. So I'm like, okay, my flight is gone, but I want to get out of here. One, so I can get home to my little mama. But two, because I'm like, I've already taken this COVID test. I want to fly home. I want to do this today so I don't have to go through this again. So she puts the person on hold and she's like, so we're not going to be able to get you out tonight on British Airways. The next plane available is tomorrow, but we could get you on a Virgin flight. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, it's a Virgin flight. It leaves in about an hour out of Terminal 3. And I was like, do you have first class business or whatever? Because I paid for that seat. And they were like, yes. I was like, all right, fine. I'll do it. I'll take it. And so she gives me not even a ticket. She gives me some sort of like voucher that basically that British Airways has paid to get me onto this Virgin flight. And is like, all right, go to Terminal 3. And I'm like, all right, where's Terminal 3? Well, of course, Terminal 3 is like a 15-mile trek. I mean, first I had to go all the way back down and across the entire terminal to where the trains were to exchange to go to the next terminal. That, of course, takes its sweet time to get to the next terminal. Then I walk about a mile to get to the gates. And I get to the gates and I'm explaining what's happening. And I'm like, oh my God, my suitcase, what's gonna happen to my suitcase? And thankfully, the guy that I got, he was really, really nice. But they had a different certification process for the COVID testing. So I had to like explain that and show that to him. They had to like completely rebook my ticket and put in my passport number and my address and all of that stuff to, you know, to print this ticket for me. And what was suspicious, and I didn't even understand at first, but when the girl goes over to the guy, she's like, well, the flight leaves in about 45 minutes. You know, are we going to have enough time? She's like, well, we're going to have to do it quickly. And I'm like, it's 45 minutes. I should have plenty of time. Well, again, thank God for the business class ticket, because he's like, go up this special elevator here, scan your ticket, and you'll go through security. I get upstairs and I'm like, what's he talking about? I don't even know what he's talking about. All I see is regular security. And, you know, this, you know, glass door, but it just looks like a glass wall, really. But then I see the scanner and I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe this is where I should go. So I scan my ticket and this magical door opens. Oh, it's so beautiful. I just wish I'd had more time to enjoy it. So, you know, I tell the woman what's happening. She's like, yeah, no, you got to go through security right now. So I start to go through security. And of course, they pull my bag and they pull my backpack. And I'm like, son of a bitch. So one, it turns out I had bought some whiskey at the duty-free shop and I'd scanned my ticket, my boarding pass on British Airways, and somehow that triggered something. So I had to explain what was going on and why I had a boarding pass for Virgin, but that the duty-free wasn't on that. Then he went and literally took my entire fucking backpack apart. And I'm like, what could he possibly be looking for? Because I put everything in my checked bag. Turns out this half empty, like almost finished little tube of Aquaphor is what triggered it. And I'm like, I've got to go. I've got to get to my flight. He's like, oh, you have half an hour. You should have plenty of time. Yeah, I'm looking at the board and it's saying flight closing for my flight. So I get all my stuff and I have to put all my stuff back together. And I start going, you know, and I go through security. Now, first you have to face this gauntlet of duty free. And this is where I realized and I understood why the woman was so worried about me getting to the plane on time. Why? I'll tell you why. Because from the end of the duty-free gauntlet to get to the actual gates is literally a mile. And I'm not joking. Like, I turned the corner and it was like a scene out of like a movie or something. The way that my vision like just was like, what? And it was like stretching and stretching and stretching and stretching. And you see just how freaking long this thing is. And again, like I said, on every board, it said my flight was closing. Mind you, I hadn't eaten much that day because I thought I was going to eat at the airport. So I had like a little piddly breakfast and was like, oh yeah, I'll eat at the airport. I never ended up eating at the airport. I just had like, you know, chips and pretzels and nonsense and then a bunch of beers. So, and I have the tendency to pass out if I do like a lot of excursion and haven't eaten. So I'm like deathly afraid I'm going to pass out. I am running. I am booking it with my heavy ass bag and my duty free whiskey. And literally, you know, those moving walkways, there's at least three of them to try to get to these gates. That's how long it was. So finally I get to the gate and the flight wasn't closing, okay? Like, there were still people who hadn't boarded the plane yet. And I was like, huh. So I was able to, you know, get straight onto the plane because it was a business class seat. But I get to the door and the flight attendant is like, oh my God, look at the state of you. Are you all right? And I'm like, no, I'm not all right. I was like, I'm about to pass out. I need some water. I have to pee. I'm just like a mess. And they're like, you're all right. You're all right. We'll take care of you now. You know, you're all sorted. Just get to your seat. We'll bring you some water. They brought me some water, showed me to the bathroom. And it was like, finally, I had made it. I was on this flight and I hadn't passed out and I was on my way home. But whew, what an ordeal. Oh my God. I called it a debacle. It was a total debacle. But all's well that ends well, actually, because that flight actually got me into Terminal 4, where the global entry office was still open. I had conditionally been approved for my global entry. I just needed to do the interview. And they said that when you come back from your international flight, you can do the interview right at the airport because ugh, what a pain in the behind it is to actually schedule the interview. And I thought that, you know, I wasn't going to make it because of this delayed flight. Turns out I ended up at the right terminal and the office was still open. So I was able to do my interview. The other thing that I was super worried about was my freaking suitcase. I was like, was it going to transfer from the British Airways flights over to Virgin? And thankfully, I had my baggage claim ticket and we had put it in at the Virgin, on the Virgin end. And miracle of all miracles, I got my suitcase. So honestly, all's well that ends well. And the trip ended up just being like really, really great. Except for like my seat on that tour, everything else was fantastic. And you know, honestly, even the tour was great too. But again, would have liked to have been given a choice about sitting where I sat. But it was awesome. I'm so glad I did it. I will definitely, definitely do it again. And they actually ended up going to Wales, and I kind of regret not going to Wales so that I could have gone around to Cardiff and or wherever just to see some sights from Gavin and Stacey, because you know I'm obsessed with that show. So you know what? Next album, I may do it again. I honestly may do it again. Obviously, I'm going to see them when they do the North American tour as well. But it's something special about going to the UK since that's where they're from and it's international and stuff. So, yeah. It was a great trip. Great trip. The only thing that I wish I had done was to go to a professional football game. But it just didn't work out for me to go to one. I did look into it, but just, you know, the timing and the dates wouldn't work. So yeah, that's my What's She On Abroad, the UK edition, which was a little bit long. I apologize, but I hope it was helpful to you. If you have any questions, please let me know. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. I know it's been a while since I've been on, but you know why. And I hope this is the start of me doing regular episodes or at least semi-regular episodes. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.